Hi, I'm here from Pittsburgh. I'm going to start with some acknowledgments to get that out of the way. I conducted this research with the help of colleagues from the Center for Healthy Environments and Communities and under the guidance of Dr. Bernie Goldstein. We conducted community health research to investigate the public health and community health impacts perceived to result from the unconventional development of the Marcellus Shale in Pennsylvania and near Pennsylvania. I don't have any conflicts of interest to report. Our initial funding was received through the Heinz Endowments, and we received additional funding through the University of Pittsburgh Graduate School of Public Health. So, I'm going to begin by talking about the process of unconventional gas development, because it may not be familiar to many of you. There's not a lot of it around here. And then I'm going to get into the role that the Center for Healthy Environments and Communities has taken to conduct research in this field. I'm going to talk about the goals of this study and the approach that we used to develop the study. I will then talk about the specific methods of translational research that we used, the results we found, and the conclusions and the recommendations we can make from these results. So this is a figure of what unconventional development is of natural gas resources. At the bottom we have the Marcellus Shale layer, which is much lower than the conventional coal bed methane, which you can see up at the top, the CBM. So gas trapped in these shale layers originated as prehistoric life millions of years ago, up to 420 million of years ago for the Devonian shale, such as Marcellus Shale. These plants and primitive animals decomposed in ancient seabeds and produced natural gas. They died in the mud layers and they were compressed in a shale. Most of these deposits are located over a mile underground and some close to 2 miles down. The recent advances in technology for retrieving this natural gas is termed unconventional gas extraction, and it's made it possible to extract this natural gas from the sedimentary rock. And the shale that we're talking about is a play that runs throughout most of the state. So unlike conventional wells that need to hit coal bed methane, and they need to locate that coal bed methane, for unconventional methods, no matter where you sink a well, you're almost guaranteed to make a return on your investment. This is a figure that was created with a program that we have implemented called Frac Tracker. These are the unconventional gas wells that have been sunk in the Marcellus Shale formation throughout Pennsylvania, Ohio, and West Virginia. And projections by the Energy Information Administration have shown that unconventional resources that made up 16% of domestic gas production in 1990, 43% in 2006, will by 2018 consist of 50% of the 19.6 trillion cubic feet that we produce every year. And in comparison, the United States uses annually 23 trillion cubic feet of gas. This is what a typical well pad looks like when it's getting ready for development. The well pad needs around 5 to 8 acres in size, in area. And the footprint of this well pad will remain for as long as the well is active, as long as the well is producing gas. The initial preparation and drilling activity is typically attended by all these trucks, high levels of noise, and a sudden increase in a mostly male transient population. The majority of the truck traffic that you saw in the last picture is used to transport the large volumes of water that is necessary to fracture a well, about 5 million gallons per well, and there may be multiple wells per well pad. The trucks then truck the wastewater out. This wastewater is what is flowing back up the borehole after the fracture. And reservoirs like this are built central to a number of well sites, and they store the wastewaters. So getting to the point, contamination of natural resources from conventional natural gas extraction have been documented. And the potential for contamination from these unconventional natural gas extraction methods is elevated by the drilling, hydraulic fracturing, and production techniques used to develop the shale. At the center, we have been focusing on the issues of natural gas development since 2009. Our directors have included Dr. Conrad Volz, Dr. Bernie Goldstein, and our director is now the chair of the EOH department, Dr. Bruce Pitt. We've implemented the Frac Tracker system. It is a GIS-based crowdsourcing platform, and we're using it because of the spatial variability of the Marcellus Shale development. It's a powerful GIS component for our research, as well as public research. We've also conducted air quality studies near well pads and support operations, and have conducted assessments of the industry's wastewater quality. We've sampled discharges from in surface waters that are making their way through surface treatment plants. We've also documented the lack of health professionals in the public health governmental advisory committees. There's been speculation and controversy about health and ecological impacts resulting from unconventional gas extraction processes, yet a thorough health impact assessment has not yet been conducted for the Marcellus Shale. So, we conducted interviews with community members in heavily drilled communities in Pennsylvania and West Virginia. We want to understand the impact of development on all aspects of their lives, and the interviews took place in several counties in Pennsylvania. The interview locations are shown here in the map. And what we did was we used a grounded theory approach of generating theory from practice. We identified perceived cases of environmental contamination and health impacts. And from these narratives, talking with these individuals, we have developed three goals for our research. First, to document the perceived health impacts in their lives that they attribute to Marcellus Shale natural gas development, to identify the perceived causes or stressors of the health complaints, and to measure the longitudinal change over a period of almost 2 years. So, interviews were conducted with a convenient sample of 33 community members living near Marcellus Shale drilling activity. We began in March 2010, and that continued through September 2010. A follow-up survey was then performed in January through April 2012, with 20 of the initial 33 participants. These activities in any one well have a temporal rhythm that changes over time. Drilling a single well can take up to 6 weeks, and multiple wells are typically sequentially drilled from a single pad, with the most intense activity tending to occur during the actual hydraulic fracturing and the completion processes of the well, which tend to last several days after drilling is finished. After a well has been successfully drilled, drilling activity decreases, the tall drilling structure known as the Christmas tree is removed, truck traffic often decreases substantially, and the number of transient workers decreases as well. Typically, a noisy compressor is worked and is left over, and a pipeline pipeline activities can continue for transporting the natural gas. So it is possible to contend that the symptoms and perceived health impacts that are attributed to the development may decrease when the activity lessens. Accordingly, we did the follow-up evaluations with 20 of the individuals. Our experimental design wasn't intended to determine whether or not there was a statistically valid causal relationship with Marcellus Shale activities and these health impacts. Rather, our goal is to identify community concerns and reported symptoms to serve as input for the design of a future study to address this question. From this table of results, we see that the most affected systems included psychological effects, the integumentary system, the digestive system, and the immune response system. The specific symptoms that we noted were stress, rashes, diarrhea, general illness, and shortness of breath. We did a couple statistical tests. We used the Wilcoxon signed ring test and dependent t-test, which showed that the symptoms increased in session 2 as compared to session 1. And the effect sizes that we calculated were moderate. The participants attributed 59 unique health impacts and 13 stressors to Marcellus Shale development activities. Among those who perceived that their health had been impacted, stress was the most frequently reported symptom. Over time, symptoms and perceived health impacts increased significantly, while stressors resulting from the Marcellus Shale activity remained consistent. We didn't see an increase in the stressors. The non-cancer health endpoints that have been identified in the literature, such as the papers by Colborne et al. And McKenzie et al., are consistent with our own results. We also looked at the two unpublished surveys of health-related symptoms that are available on the internet. One was done on air quality in Dish, Texas, and another one on well water contamination in Pavilion, Wyoming, by the Suber Group. And of the 23 most prevalent conditions reported in the Dish, Texas survey, 17 of the same conditions were documented in our research. Of the 27 most prevalent conditions in the Pavilion, Wyoming survey, 20 of the same conditions were reported in our research. These studies also cited that 90% and 75% of their survey populations experienced odor events, whereas for our populations, only 13% of the participants reported odor events. We also looked at the health impact assessment by Dr. Roxana Witter that was conducted in Battlement Mesa, Colorado. And continuing, their health impact assessment identified potential exposures through water, air, and soil pathways, and participants in our own research also believed that exposure via similar pathways had occurred. Dermal contact and inhalation of the well water while in the shower were the predominant routes of exposure reported. Other routes included ingestion, although participants who identified that their water sources were contaminated no longer drank from the water source, but often reported using the water for cooking and bathing. The most recent EPA reports have identified Marcellus Shale isotopic signatures of methane in groundwater of Dimock, Pennsylvania. These were just released in beginning of October, these results. And what that means is there's the potential for methane and contaminant migration from these very low shale layers up into the groundwater. It's been contested that these signatures are incorrect and that they're not from the Marcellus Shale. Other people have also said that other researchers have also claimed that this migration is a million-year process, and it doesn't happen overnight. This is not the result from drilling, but rather this occurs naturally over millions of years. Stress can also result in direct health impacts. Chronic stress can result in allostatic loads, defined as the physiological consequence of chronic exposure to fluctuating or heightened neural or neuroendocrine responses. The stressors that we documented cause psychological and physical burdens for participants, which may contribute to the significant increase in health impacts. For the reported stressors, the dependent T-test, which we used to compare the before and after interviews, showed no significant difference between Session 1 and Session 2. Although there was a negative test statistic, which indicates the symptoms did increase, just not significantly. Other stressors that were of note included financial impacts and degradation of property, one example being the destruction of a barn after seismic testing. Seismic testing using a thumper truck similar to this. The health concerns that we noted resulted from direct experiences with the drilling activity. These activities impacted air quality and quality of life as perceived through the senses of hearing, sight, and smell. This is a quote from one of the individuals, one of the participants. He had a well that was put in right next to his house. It was on the edge of his neighbor's property, not his property. Several condensate tanks, which were used to support the well, exploded, and holding ponds caught fire. But the main disturbance for him and his main health concern for him and his family was breathing the volatile organic compounds, which were coming off of the large impoundment, like I showed earlier. The death or sickness of companion animals, pets, or livestock was documented as well, and these were considered stressors for both financial liability for livestock farmers and the emotional stress for pet owners. We identified similar observations to those documented by the veterinarians Bamberger and Oswald, who released some research in 2012. They included cases of animal death, failure to breed, and reduced growth rates. Bamberger and Oswald also identified temporal correlations between acute developmental events such as well flaring and the actual hydraulic fracturing, and the impact on air quality and water quality. Cases of animal death that we saw in our research were often associated with such events, such as in this quote. It should also be recognized that animals are sentinels for human health and are an indicator of potential human health threats. So, although Pennsylvania lies over one of the largest shale basins in the United States, there are a number of other shale basins, as shown in this map. One of them is here in California. It's called the Monterey Basin. The natural gas estimates for the Monterey Basin stop at about 2 trillion cubic feet as compared to Marcellus Shale, which is estimated to contain upwards of 410 trillion cubic feet. But there have been unconventional gas drilling in many places in Southern California occurring. So the stressors that we identified in the study are impacting on human health, regardless of whether the health impact is due to direct exposure to chemical and physical agents resulting from the drilling, or to the identified psychosocial stressors. To lessen the public health impact of shale gas drilling, these stressors can and should be directly addressed through government and industry actions and through support of community approaches. In view of the concerns documented in these surveys, of the widespread and long-term nature of unconventional gas development, and of the accumulating evidence suggesting air and water pollution resulting from the activities, we view an epidemiological evaluation of the potential adverse consequences of the drilling as necessary and highly likely to be funded in the near future. This research suggests that any epidemiological study should include psychological symptoms, especially stress, as well as potential impacts to the integumentary system, central nervous system, and digestive systems. We also recognize that our sample was a limited convenience sample, so we also encourage additional research into health concerns identified by community members living in close proximity to unconventional operations prior to a comprehensive longitudinal epidemiological study. The current findings do not support the belief that neglect will cause the perceived health impacts to go away. And here's a list of my references that I used for this research, and thank you for your time.